Second background on like Ron, like who he was. Is he normally comments on the Gemara, but he's in the back of the Gemara usually?
He's on the riff.
Well, there's a Ron, it's where the publishers put him. He didn't put himself here.
Yeah, like, oh, apply. Who wants to be on the
riff?
Yeah,
right? Who wants to be on the riff? Here where the post put is.
Well, because the Ron gained a great deal of prominence when it came to Maseches Nedarim. I don't know why it came
just
about.
Go. So that, even though he has an omnibus after
this became the classic parish on Maseches Nedarim. Now, how that came about, I don't know. But it became so basic, you know, that the publishers put it on the page.
But he has on all of them. On all the factors, I mean.
Not
all, but he has on.
We don't have them all.
So I'm saying he has on others also. So
We have the run that they put in the back of the Gemara. The publishers put it, and that's a commentary too on the Gemara. But we don't have the run in every single Maseches Nedarim. Maybe he wrote, but we don't.
Did he write like Sefers, or he just all we have from him is just commentary on the Gemara? Okay, I just need background.
Is there a riff on the Gemara?
Yeah.
So what does that look like now? Is there on both here and there?
Well, there's a way to answer your question.
Open up in a Gemara, but there were none in the
main
Gemara.
We tried.
Right. After the Sarm.
So you have actually on the riff, they put the Ritva.
Oh, interesting.
And the Nemuke Yosef.
That's so interesting.
From the Dharma. There's no other Masechta that I can recall that they would have the Ritva next to the Ritva.
It was like a different impression of the riff a little bit, because you always do like the riff and they're on. That's so fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Okay, so let's. So what we. I don't know if we went through the. We didn't go through the entire Gemara itself.
No.
So.
No.
So there are a lot of. You know, there are different people involved that discuss this Gemara, have this discussion. So the case that started off was, it was a father who was angry at his son, who was a thief. And he said that he ossered all his property, that his son, cannot at all benefit from any of the father's property. So people said to the father, you know, if you do that, you're also cutting off your grandchildren from that son. And what if you have a grandson who's a good person, an upstanding person, a silver near upon him? So the father then said, okay, so what I'm going to want to do is, I'm still answering my son, but he can't have any benefit from my property, but I am willing to let him acquire it. To what extent? Only to the extent that he would then be able to give it to a grandson. So I only want to give it to my son in order to pass it on to the grandson. But otherwise, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it for any other purpose. And the Gemara wanted to know if that is valid. Now, it's setting up a kingdom with a person where that person doesn't have it for all uses, doesn't have it to benefit from it. He only has it for one purpose only, which is to transfer it to somebody else. Is that called a valid kinyan? In the language that the Gemara uses for such a case is kini almanas lahaknos. That's the expression that the Gemara uses. You see it in the words, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can he acquire, but only on the condition to what's lahaknos?
To transfer it.
You only have it to transfer, for nothing else. Mm-hmm. This was the question that the Gemara raised, that is this, halakhically speaking, effective? And to this question, Pedisa had an opinion, Rav Nachman had an opinion, and then Rav Ashi reacted to Rav Nachman. So, So Pumpadisa claimed what? Because of what? You cannot set up a kingdom like this where you're giving it to a person only to have the transfer. That person doesn't get it. You can't, that's not a kingdom. The kingdom by definition means, I'm adding this thing, the kingdom by definition means that if I give it to you, you have to be able to use it for yours. It has to be yours, yours to use. To only have it for the purposes of transferring, you don't have it. And the Ron, I just want to point out there, you distinguished it from the case of Matana Amanas Lahachzir. Did you notice that?
Yes, we were so confused about that.
That, the Gemara says in many, many places that if I can give you a Matana on the condition that you return it to me.
Oh, like,
what? You give back your engagement?
No, like, is it, that's not what you're, like a Matana like that on the condition that, like, if something else, like,
well, actually,
up
you're
going
to have a Gemara I assigned to you, actually.
About engagement ring?
An engagement ring? Yeah.
I don't know about an engagement ring, about anything.
Ring, except that if we get divorced, you need to give it back to me, and that's
going to
be it.
But that's not what this case is.
No. So, a Matana Manasa Hafsa, the Gemara says in many places that it's a valid Matana. Like, for example, we utilize that, let's say, on Sukkot, on the first day of Sukkot, we have to own your own lulav and esrog, and what will be if you don't have one? So I can give it to you as a matana manasa haksa, so you can have it, use it for the mitzvah, but it's only on the condition that you return it to me. So if you never return it to me, it was never yours in the first place.
So you didn't fulfill the mitzvah retroactively.
That's right.
It was a bracha matala.
Exactly. So, but a matana manasa haksa is valid. So in a sense, how is this case any different than a matana manasa haksa? You have to give it back. You don't have it. You have to return it. What's the difference between that or giving it to your son only for the purpose of transferring it to the grandson? So what did the wrong answer? There's a big difference.
Yeah, because at the time when it's given over, the time of the matana al manas lahachzir is given over, you're able to use it within that time frame.
Exactly. Matana manas lahachzir, like the lulav and esrog example. What do you do with the lulav and esrog when I gave it to you? You use it. Of course, what are you using it for the mitzvah? So you have a right to use it, just that you also have to give it back. But the time that you have it, you can use it. But in our case, if Kmiya Manas Lahaknos, you have no right to use it. You only have it to transfer. So that's why Pumpadisa thought that therefore it's not valid. Yeah.
Are we going to, doesn't the Ron explain this case differently?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if we should.
Well, I don't know if the class wants to go over that. We can. It's
wait,
not so.
Wait, you just say that Amanas Lahachzir, that's not the Ron?
That is the Ron.
So what is.
No, you're talking about the case with the father and the grandson.
Yeah, that it's two sons instead
of
one.
Yeah, there are two sons instead of one.
Oh, son. That's the first.
That's
the first. Oh, okay.
So, unless the class wants me to go over that, it's not so vital for why I want you to do this tomorrow. We can do it. Let's keep going.
Which part?
It
was the second.
Well, the Ron said there have to be two sons right. In the case like this.
Amrulay, the E.
Barbary. Yeah, so we'll do it later. So after Pumpadisa said that, Rav Nachman comes along and disagrees with Pumpadisa. Did somebody tell me what did Rav Nachman say? Yeah.
It does work.
It does work. Almanas Lahaknos does work.
By
despite the fact that the son doesn't have it except to transfer, that's called the kingdom too.
How does he explain the whole Matana thing? Because the Matana on the Lahachzir seems very different. What would he say about that?
Well, it doesn't bother him. That also works. And he's saying even without getting any benefit if it were.
Just like Khalifa, which is why he
was getting the benefit. Or getting And then Rav Nachman continued and said that there is an analogous case where we actually see that Kenia Manas Lahatmos, in fact, works. What's the analogous case? The analogous case is if we just examine a Kenyan Suda. Just in general, examine the Kenyan Suda, and Rav Nachman claims that every Kenyan Suda is a Kenya Manas Lahatmos situation. How so? So let's make up a case. Let's say McKenna wants to buy my house. And we decide we're going to use Kenyan Suda. Now the practice, this is Rav Nachman thinking, the practice was that, so McKenna would give me a Suda, say a handkerchief, a pen, something like that. And then the moment I take possession of the handkerchief, what automatically happens? My house is now transferred to McKenna, so now she owns the house. And the practice was that what did I do with the handkerchief?
Give it back.
In Rav Nachman's eyes, the setup was that I was never going to keep the suitor. That was the arrangement. And the suitor was really not mine, but it was only mine for a moment, for one thing only. I had it for what purpose only?
To transfer your
house. To transfer my house to McKenna. Otherwise, I don't have it for anything else. The proof is I give it back. This is not mine for anything else. So I only have it to transfer. Now here, I'm not transferring the suitor, I'm transferring the house. Don't let that confuse you. But still, I only have the suitor to transfer the house. Otherwise, I don't have it for anything else. So if Nachman says, isn't that a case of Kenyan Manas Lahatmos? So if every Kenyan suitor works, then this arrangement that the father is trying to make with his son should also work. You look.
Yeah, can you explain the connection again? Because you know initially, with the case of Kenyan Suda, that you're not going to acquire the handkerchief itself. You're just using it to show that you're being mechanic.
I don't want to say it that way. You are acquiring it, but only in order to transfer the house.
Limited use.
You have it for, just like with the son. You're giving the son your possessions only so that he could transfer it to the grandson if he's a Talmud Chacham.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the son doesn't have it. But he has it for that purpose.
The
suitor too. She gave me this, McKenna gave me the suitor, so I have it for one purpose only. What about, I have it. I acquired it.
So now, in theory, the suitor is yours?
No, not according to Rav Nachman. It's mine only, it is mine, but just to transfer the house.
So the second the house is then transferred to McKenna, you lose
the suitor. I have to return it.
The suitor.
That's why I give it back. Did everybody else understand it?
I mean, I understand it. I just don't understand that it's a one-to-one with the whole case in the Gemara.
What do you mean, one-to-one?
Like, I don't understand why Rav Nachman thinks that the Kenyan Suzar is a... I understand why he thinks it's a Kenyan Almanas Lahatmos, right?
Kenyan Almanas Lahatmos, yeah.
That he wants to show that...
And it works, right?
It does work.
It doesn't Kenyan Suzar work?
I mean, I think so. Halachic system seems to think so also.
Kenyan Suda is one of the Kenyanim that we work with. We use all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe my question will be clarified later.
Okay. So, this is what Rav Nachman said. So he believes that Kenyan Manas, that the Kenyan Manas Lahatmos works, and the Suda is an example of Kenyan Manas Lahatmos, and that's why it works. Now, Rav Ashi comes along, and what does he do?
He disagrees
with Rav Nachman on two levels, on two points. And you have to realize what the two points are. I'm sure you all realize that there were two points that he's making.
Yeah.
Okay. So Let's go one at a time. Now remember, Rav Nachman believed what about Kinyan Suda?
That's the Kinyan Amanas
case. That you only have the Suder to transfer the house. But otherwise you don't have it, yeah?
Oh, no, I was just going to say the first
challenge. Okay, go ahead. So what's the first?
So I think the first challenge was that he's kind of like disagreeing with that conception of the Kinyan Sudar. Because if let's say, when I give you the Sudar, like, you could keep it if you wanted to. So then you would be able to use it for some other purpose rather than just transfer your house.
Yeah. So the first point that Rav Ashi says to Rav Nachman is that he's factually mistaken. The fact is, says Rav Ashi, that what you thought about the Suda is simply not true. The fact that so why do I give it back to you?
That's the custom.
That was just the custom. But the truth is, if I didn't want to give it back, I could legally keep it. So it's really just a disagreement between the two of them about actually what are we supposed to assume is happening about the Suda itself?
Lo Mapis there means, it's a question?
It's a rhetorical question. McKenna, could you read it inside?
Amar Rav Ashi, Uman Leman Lam Sudara, Eat the Feast, Le Lo Mit Feast.
Who is to say, says Rav Ashi, that if the Suda, if he grabbed it, that he couldn't grab it? Meaning that who grabbed it?
The Kohen.
Not
the person who had been given the Machna.
The Machna, the field.
I sold you the field. You gave me the
Suda. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Who is to say that if I seized it, that I can't seize it? Seizing means I to keep it. So who is to say, right? So Rav Ashi says, of course I can keep it. So he says, Rav Nachman, what are you talking about? The Suda is not a Kiyam and Asahatma's case. I could do whatever I... Now, the practice was I gave it back to McKenna. Not because I had to, but because I wanted to. But if I wanted to keep it, I could have done that too. So his first objection is that the analogy is all wrong. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
His analogy is wrong. Okay. Now comes the second. Can anybody tell me the second?
Not well.
What?
Say not well.
All right, so yes.
Okay, I don't know if it's well either, but if you're going to even say, if we're going to concede and say, okay, this is a Kinyan Sudar happens when I give you the handkerchief, you take the handkerchief, then the possession of the house is I take possession of the house at the moment that you're taking it. The Kinyan Sudar, that you take the Sudar, and then the Sudar is returned to me. That's when the possession of the house is taken.
When is it? Say it again.
Possession of the house is taken in the Kinyan Sudar when I give you the Sudar.
Right.
But in our case, possession of the house is only being taken after the Kinyan, after the
what
Sudar.
House?
What?
What house?
In our case, the Nechatim is only being taken possession of after the Sudar is already returned.
So who's not taking possession of it?
The son is not taking possession
of
it.
There's no grandson.
There's no grandson. No possession is being taken at that moment that the Kinyan Sudar is being done. But a Kinyan Sudar happened. But then that's his question. Can you do a Kinyan Sudar if your possession
now,
is not...
There's something really tricky here about it. Okay, let's make up arbitrary dates, so just to illustrate. Okay. Let's say the father does a Kinyan, let's say a Kinyan Sudar. Now, the Kinyan that the father and the son, what Kinyan did they use?
Sudar.
I think it's a Kinyan
Sudar,
right?
We don't know about, right?
Well, let's assume they use the Kinyan Sudar. Let's say this happened, right, on November 16th, right? Then, that's the grandson. Let's say, I just make up, let's say this is 2017, and let's say, when does the grandson become the Talmud Chacham?
20 years later.
Okay.
Whoa.
It's a long time.
Let's say whatever.
It's a long time.
2020, okay?
Wait, he's born in 2020?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He could be born already.
Okay, we don't have to break.
Well, if he was born already.
No, okay. 2020, the grandson is going to become the Talmud Chacham. Now, the question is, what does the father want to happen? He wants his son to acquire the property only for the purpose of giving it to the grandson. Let's say, of course, we don't know that in 2017, but if we're prophetic, so we know that that's not going to happen until 2020. Isn't that true? Okay. When does the son acquire the property?
2020.
Does he acquire it? Let me think. So this would be November 16th, 2020. When does the son acquire? Does he acquire it at that moment? But he can't do anything with it. He just has it. But he can't do anything with it. And then in 2020, he has it already now. And then in 2020, he'll then, when he has the Talmud Chacham, he'll then be able to give it to the grandson. Is that what happens? Or the father doesn't want the son to get it now, but only he'll get it right before, on November 16th. That's when he wants his son to acquire it in order then to give it to the grandson. In other words, from 2017 until 2020, does the father want the son to have it? Or not at all?
No,
not at all.
You understand what I'm saying to you? Who discussed it?
The Ron.
The Ron did.
Yeah.
And what did the Ron say?
Doesn't want him having it until 2020.
That's right. So the father, there's no reason why he would want his son to have it now. Because he only wants to give it to the kid, and he only wants him to have it only to give it to the grandson. Right now it's not Shaiach yet in 2017. So the Ron explains that the father doesn't want his son to get it now. But when does he do with his son the Kinyan Seder?
Now.
Is that the case? Now. So Ravashi now is looking at this and saying that this scenario is different than your typical Kinyan Seder case. And see, I don't know if you understood what the... If you look at the Ron, is it warm? Isn't it warm in
here? Yes.
Maybe open more windows. I don't know.
There's
candles.
There's no fans not on, but once they turn on the heat, the building acts like a radiator, so the heat is on.
Really?
It's pretty. It's because it's warmer outside today,
I know,
so yeah, high of 60.
Okay. So.
It's pleasant outside.
Who understood? If you look at the Ron on the old. Klomar, Lekishatim Salomar, the Sudra Kniamanas Lahatmos, who? What does he mean by that?
If you'll say that a
Kinyan Sudra. Don't translate the words. I'm not asking.
I think he's.
Yeah, what is he saying?
I think he's saying that when he actually gives him the Sudara, that's when the Kinyan happens. It's immediate.
No. What do you mean, like, is your Tim Saloma the Sudra Kinyan and Asahat no Su?
I feel like when they establish that, when I give you the Sudara.
If you're trying to say that
when
Rav
Nachman said that.
I happened, which means when he went up and held her about him and when he said it.
What the Ron is trying to do, it seems like in that first line, is that he wants to reformulate Ravashi's second question. Is it no? Okay,
never mind. Well, I don't know what you mean. Maybe you have the right idea. Go ahead.
That it seems a little confusing when he says, but oh, Sidra, Kni, Al, Minas, Lahatos, Ni, Hashayu. He wants to reformulate it and say that for this. No, now I'm just saying what Victoria said. I take it back.
Anybody get this?
I don't know the exact translation, but isn't he saying that, okay, you might think in general that Kinyan Sudar is similar to Kinyan Manapahakno case. However, there's this difference.
She's right. What she said, say it again.
That you might think that Kinyan Sudar is similar to or analogous to a Kinyan Manapahakno case. However, there's the difference.
So let me speak. What Ravashi is doing is the following. The first point that he made was what? That in truth, a Kinyan Sudar is not a Kni Amanas Lahatnos case. That was his first point. His second point is saying that even if I would agree with you, Rav Nachman, even if I would agree with you that a Sudar is in fact a Kni Amanas Lahatnos, you're still wrong. That it's still not a typical Kinyan Sudar is not analogous to this case with the father and the son and the grandson. But even if you're right that every Kinyan Sudar is a Kinyan Manas Lahatnos, you're still making a big mistake. And what is the big difference between a regular Sudar case? You know, the case that say I'm giving McKenna, I'm selling her the house. In the case that I have on the board?
The immediacy.
So who can tell me now what, now just say the whole thing? Who can do it? Yeah?
So because whereas in the Kinyan Sudar, when I give you the Sudar, you're transferring me your house immediately, right away. In the case with the Nechassim, even though they do the Kinyan Sudar in 2017, there's no transfer actually happening until 2020.
No transfer of what?
The Nechassim.
From who to who?
From the father to the son.
That's right. So, in the actual, even though they do the physical Kinyan Sudar in 2017, when he doesn't want the effects of the Kinyan Sudar to become valid, what effect do I mean?
The transfer.
That now the son will now own the possessions. Again, only to give it to the grandson, that he doesn't want the son to have it until 2020. So that means that, of course, by that time already, the Sudar, of course, was returned 3 years ago. The Sudar might not even exist anymore. Who knows where it is? But just 1 second. So, therefore what? Therefore, how could a Kinyan Sudar be effective 3 years later, when 3 years later the Sudar had already been returned? So this raises a whole new issue about making a Kinyan now, but postponing its effects until some later time. Can you do something like that?
The Ron seems to say
well,
yes.
Well, not more than the render of Gemara. This is a very big topic. And that's why the Ron, I don't know if you were able to get through it. Let me give you examples of this. This comes up. It comes up in Kedushin a lot. It comes up all over. Yes, McKenna?
Can you just repeat, according to the Ron, how he reads Rav Ashi's first issue with Rav Nachman?
The first issue is that every Kinyan Sudar is not Kinyan Manas Lahatnos. Because I could keep the Sudar if I wanted to. And use it for myself. Yeah.
Though I understand why this is such a big question, I feel like the question can be avoided here, because instead of saying that the Kinyan shouldn't work until 3 years from now, you can just make it a conditional Kinyan, which is okay, I thought. And and the condition is that he is a Talmud Chacham, and otherwise it goes to the other son.
But that's if you made, if you gave it to your son right then and there in 2017.
On condition. On
the, then it could work.
So then why is it?
Because the Ron is assuming that that's not what happened in the case.
Why?
There's no reason why, it just didn't. The father, but the father didn't want his son to have it in 2017. There was no reason for him to have it so early.
Well,
he just wanted to set it up so that maybe, so that he doesn't want his son to own it until the grandson is, you know, is a Talmud Chacham.
And then another thing, isn't there a concept of having a will? Why isn't that used? When you have something in your will and you said, I want this person to get it on the condition of this, like that's possible. You don't even need to do a canon.
Well, I don't say how. If so, then
meaning if he's alive, then he himself can give it to the grandson when he sees that the grandson says Talmud Chacham. Then if he's not alive anymore, then his will describe who should get what on what conditions.
Yeah, but you can't disinherit your son. That's a whole Yerusha, the Torah says that Yerusha.
So you can say, I made a neder that my son shouldn't get it.
Well, your son won't be able to benefit from it.
Right?
Yeah, but now you don't want your, so the question, but you want your grandson to have it, and your son, you don't want your son to benefit from it. So how do you set it up that the grandson should get it?
Oh, and the only way that the grandson can get it is if the son gets it? That's according to the law.
Well, how else? Yeah, how else will the grandson get it? I can't just say that my children, that's not part of Yerusha. You could give it away before you die if you want. You could give away your property if you want, but you can't just, you know, say that the laws of Yerusha should work differently than the way they work in the Torah.
Well, I thought that if you make a vow, if you make a neder, and you mentioned specifically that even after I die, this neder should work. So, taking the same cases here, instead of making a kinyan to solve the problem, you're just going to
So you're bringing up really this first run in the beginning, but
right.
About the two sons. So we're going to have. So let's wait off. Let's hold
just off. Just because I know that we, in our ways of doing Yerusha nowadays, we don't follow these old Yerusha laws.
Well, if you want to follow the law, if you want to not give it, you have to set it up in a way where you don't violate the laws of Yerusha, the Torah. So let's say if somebody had a few sons and he really doesn't want to give anything to one of his sons, whatever reason, you can't just say, well, I want only four of my five sons to inherit me, and I don't want the fifth one. You have to do it in a way where, but the Torah says all five sons should inherit. So now I could simply, before I die, give away all my property to my four sons as a gift, which is what, you know, which was what you could do.
But so, if your grandson is the person that you want to give to, and he's...
Then you won't get it that way.
And the only way you could do it is by giving it to the son to give to him.
The son has to get it. So how do you give it to him?
But I'm also curious how that other Mishnah works with this, because that other Mishnah suggested that there's a way that you can disinherit your son after your death also.
Well, that he won't benefit from it, but still, he could still give the son could still give it to his son.
He
just can't benefit from it.
He can technically benefit from it by doing the whole debt collection thing.
Well, he's still not. They would take away the money from him, so.
Fine.
But otherwise, he can't use the money.
So it seems like a kinyan was necessary in this case.
Yeah.
Order.
According to the Ram, what Rabbah is saying in the second point is that even if we assume that every suitor case is a piyamanas lahaknos, every suitor case is still different than this case. Because in every suitor case, at the time that the suitor, when McKenna gave me the suitor, when I took possession of the suitor, what happened automatically? She got the house. But what's happening in the father-son case? Doesn't matter, it's father and son. So if McKenna's the son and he gives me the suitor, at this moment that I receive the suitor, I'm not giving anything to McKenna. I don't want her to have the property yet. So we just go through it, but we're stipulating that when will McKenna get the property?
In 2020.
You know, in 2020, when her son is a Talmud Chacham. You understand? So But by then already, the Kenyan Sutra was done and finished. It was done. It was finished in 2017. The Sutra might not even exist anymore. So that's what I said, that this raises a whole issue about making a Kenyan, doing the what we call the Masa Kenyan now, but postponing its effects until some later time. Can you set something like this up? And I don't know if you were able to know. Rav Ashi is claiming, does anybody know the answer to this? Can you or can't you?
I'll go on a limb and say yes, you can.
I'm going
to
say no.
Okay. So you're both right.
In some cases you can, in some cases you can't.
It depends on what the kinyan is that you're using.
Oh, this is the whole Mashincha, Chazaka, or Shtar.
That's right.
Yeah.
It all depends on what kinyan method you use. That's what this depends on. Did anybody understand what?
I think so.
Yeah,
I can try. The Ron gave the example of Mashincha with a para. And he said that, let's say, one person A says to person B, do mashiach with this, with my cow, and you will own it in 30 days. So in that case, with either mashiach or similarly with chazaka,
let's talk about mashiach.
Okay, the action is done now, but it doesn't continue. And so then 30 days from now, in theory, when we say the transaction is complete, the action that initiated that transaction is long over.
Okay.
Where?
So, but you see, there was something, I don't know if you realize, he said if it's Omedes Ba'agam.
And he has actually brought it into his...
He was standing in a pond?
God hasn't brought it into his...
Yeah, okay,
but... Well, that could be either way. What it means is, let's say McKenna wants to buy my cow. So,
I really didn't think it was ponds, but I didn't know what else to translate.
No, Agam is a pond.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that was how it translated, but it's fitting into the scenario.
But it was a phrase.
Wait, in a second. So let's say McKenna wants to buy my cow. So, but for whatever reason, I'll make the Kenyan with her now, but I don't want her to actually acquire the cow for 30 days. So let's do the Mashiach now. Okay, so what does that mean? So let's say, McKenna will do a Mashiach on the cow. Now, the thing is this. When the 30 days arrive, where is the cow? If the cow is in McKenna's barn, on her field, in her property, then it will work. Because it's as if her property now is still,
continuation is still
holding on to the cow. But what will be if on day 30 the cow wandered into public lands? Like it's in an agam. Not my land. It's in a public.
Then it doesn't do it.
So then that mashicha that was done has ended. Because now the animal is in public, is grazing in public lands on day 30 when the kinyan is supposed to take effect. There's no mashicha anymore. Now this is called...
So does it still belong to you or it belongs to the hefker?
No, so it still belongs to me. I only gave it to her, I didn't make it hefker. So if the kinyan to McKenna doesn't work, then it's...
It returns.
So this idea that the Mashiach is over, we have an expression for this. Kolso Kinyana. What does it mean, Kolso Kinyana?
It ended.
The Kinyan ended. In other words, the problem with Mashiach is if on day 30, the cow is not in the Kenyan's barn, but it's in some public street. There's no Mashiach anymore in order for the Kenyan to take effect then. So the Mashiach calls up Kenyan, its Kenyan was over. The same thing would be true, let's say, if McKenna wants to buy a piece of land and we make up that she'll do a Kenyan Chazaka, which is the thing she's fixing something. Okay? once it's fixed, so your tula, it's interesting.
It's fixing, not living on.
No, he's talking about fixing kinyan chazaka. I'm just a little troubled. What did he say about kinyan chazaka that also has the same problem?
He listed them together, but he didn't give another example.
Yeah, so
he says b'kinyan u'mashicha v'chazaka she'inan mitzkaimin.
Right. But they don't last because they don't exist, you know, indefinitely.
So what would happen in order to have a situation of kalta kinyana in chazaka? Would it be like I just wouldn't show up on day 30 to make the to do the chazaka?
No, you did it on day one.
I did it on day one. So what would, yeah, okay, fine.
But
so
the kinyan, you don't want the kinyan to take effect until day 30.
Right, so what would have to happen to make the kinyan, like,
but that's the part that I'm not sure. It sounds like that just the fact that it's over already, whatever you fixed, you did it already.
Like it's not an ongoing renovation process.
That's the part I don't know. Like if it's still there, fixed.
Like the lock fell off.
Yes, I don't know.
I was thinking more it has to do with, like, let's say it's a tiny project and it takes 12 hours to finish, then maybe it wouldn't be completed. But if it's a really large project and you're working on it for 60 days, on the 30th day when the kinyan is going to be transacted, then if you're still working on it, it shows some type of.
But I don't think that's what it means. I think he meant that you did a chazak already, it's done.
Okay.
Now he contrasts it with a shtar.
Yeah, which is omeit.
Because a shtar, you hand over the shtar, but as long as the shtar exists, then it doesn't have this limitation of kolsa kinyan, or shtar does not, you see what I'm saying to you? It does not have the limitation of kolsa kinyan. You understand what that?
Yeah, because as long as it's there, it's
the shtar, as long as it's there, it's
a valid.
Now, what about a suder? See, the suder, that would, the act of giving the suder over, especially because what's going to happen after McKenna gave me the suda? I'm going to give it back, so I don't have it anymore. So therefore, so 3 years later, if the father and son, if we did a kinyan suda, I say I'm the father, I gave her back the suda, then 3 years later what? I don't have a suda 3 years later for the kinyan then to be able to become effective. You understand?
Because you don't have it to give it back.
Yeah, because I gave it back to you in 2017.
Oh.
But if you keep the suda, would it still work?
Yeah, so maybe it would. Because I have it now for 2020, but since you give it back, I don't have it anymore.
So if you gave it back in 2017, then that's called Takinyana.
Yeah. So that's what Rav Ashi is saying to Rav Nachman, that even if you're right that every suder is a kinyan menas lahaknos, but every suder, the kinyan is immediate. So the fact that, so then even though it's kinyan menas lahaknos, it could still work. But in the case on the board with the father and the son, that's a case of kolsa kinyano. You can say why it's kolsa kinyano? Because you're not giving, the father doesn't want the son to have the property until 2020, but the kinyan suda was done, and the suda was returned already back in 2017. You understand? So there's no kinyan in 2020 so that it should then become effective. Yeah.
Only thing is that the kinyan wasn't dependent on me giving back the suda.
But that was the practice.
But even if it was the practice, it wasn't dependent on that.
So what? You gave it back, you don't have it.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, if I'm purchasing from you and I give you that suda, regardless if you give it back to me, whether it's a practice, whether it's not, if I give it to you, right now you've already acquired my stuff. So
no, not in the father case. I'm not giving the son. The son doesn't get the property until 2020.
But that happens to be a separate thing. He doesn't get it right away.
That's,
but it has nothing
point
to do with whether I give you back the suda or not.
I know, but the practice was to give it back. I don't have it anymore.
But you don't get anything just by giving that suda back.
The point is that by giving the sudar back, it's a kalta kinyana. The kinyan sudar is now over and ended.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if the giving back of the sudar has nothing to do with the completion of the kinyan, which is what I happen to think.
It doesn't, but the point is the kinyan is not taking effect in 2017 when I got the sudar in my hand.
all I'm trying to say is that regardless of whether I give you back the suja or not, it shouldn't affect the kenya. So I'm agreeing with Ravashi to say that this doesn't make sense and doesn't work. But it has nothing to do with giving back the suja or whether
it does, because that's close to kenya. No, I don't have the suja in 2020.
There's no continuation.
What kenyan is now in 2020? We didn't do any kenyan. There's no kenyan. It's all gone. The son is not giving me the suitor here. He gave it to me up there.
Okay.
And at that time, I gave him back the suitor because that was the practice to do.
Even if you kept the suitor until 2020, how would that change anything?
Because I have it. So you could say no. So I have the suitor, so I'm having the suitor now, so you can say that. That now I have the suitor. Now in 2020, you'll get the property.
So then what's the problem for Dravashi? So then just keep the suitor.
But that wasn't what's going on in the case. Nobody kept the suitor. Everybody gave it back.
Meaning that you have to give it back? Or
no, that was the practice.
So don't give it back and then your problem's solved.
But that's
the point
not what
is
was going
they
on.
Did. The case is that they did give
that's
it back.
That's not
so
the case.
What?
The case is talking that everybody gave it back. People gave back the suitor. Given the fact that people gave it back, then it shouldn't work. You're saying, why not do it? Yeah, if you've done it differently, it would have worked. But that's not what we're discussing.
Well, I'm also trying to know if them giving it back was part of the rules of that type of kinyan.
It was the practice, according to Ravashi, it was a minhag to give it back. It was the practice. Everybody, like we do today, the handkerchief, the rabbi gives you that and you give it back. That is the practice. Everybody does it. When you sell your chametz, don't you make a kinyan with the rabbi or son with a pen? You give it back. That is the practice.
Yeah,
we always give it back.
Does the husband get to keep the little quilting pen? That was the question
I'm asking.
I told her it wasn't.
So
important.
You give it back, and that's the way every kinyan suitor is done. People give it back. Well, if you give it back, then it can't work. So what I wanted you to see from this Gemara was that there's a machlokas between Pumpadisa and Rav Nachman about what? Is every Kenyan suitor a Keni Almanas Lahaknos or not? Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Rav Nach Pumpadisa, between Rav Nachman and Rav Ashi. Is every Kenyan suitor a Kenyan Almanas Lahaknos? What did Rav Nachman say?
Yes.
It is. And Ravashi basically said no. Okay. Did anybody go further than this?
We barely finished the Hakmas.
We started the Rashba.
We started the Rashba before like yesterday, so we didn't finish all the Rans, but we did start the Rashba.
Okay. So let's first discuss the first Ran since it was raised, the issue about the two sons. The Ran was bothered by this Mishnah in Baba Kama that was a Kuftes Kufyud, that said the following, exactly, very very relevant to the case in the Gemara here in the Gaon. What was the case? The Mishnah there mentioned that if a father assured on his son all his property, the Mishnah still said that the son inherits the property. He can't use it, but he does inherit it. So what will he do with it? He can't use it at all. So he can give it to his own children.
Or his brothers.
Or his brothers. So that's what the Mishnah said. So what do you see from that? So what is the Gemara in the Durham all about? We see from that Mishnah that a father can assert his property on his son, but the son will still inherit the father. He just can't use the property. But he owns the property, but he can't use it. And what will he do with it? He'll give it to his brother, his son, wherever he wants to. So then what's the problem here? So the same thing here. The father didn't like his son, who's a thief, so he assert all his property, but the son will still inherit. So that this way, the son, if he still inherits it, the son will give it to his children. So what's the problem?
I mean, why are we even having this discussion about
Yeah. It's a Mishnah. So what the Ron answered was that the case is not exactly the way it appears in the Gemara, that you have to add something into the case. That this father had two sons. One of them was a law-abiding person, the other one was a guy. So then the problem is this. The father, if the son that's the ganav is not going to have a son who is a tzuva merabanan, then he would want all his property to go to the good son. If, however, what? He has a grandson from the bad son, who's a tzuva merabanan, then he would want to split the property, and he would want both sons to inherit him. So that was the dilemma. So therefore, it was as follows. So he says, so the father was ready to give it to the son, the bad son, but he only wants him to have it if the grandson is a tzaddik. But if not, then he wants all the property to go to the other son. And he would have to then work it out that the other son should get it all. So that was what he was trying to set it up. You see, if he didn't do anything, then what would have happened? What would be if the father didn't make any special arrangements, but he just ushered the bad son? He would still get 50%.
Is it? I thought it was like that the oldest gets the double.
Forget about, let's say there's no bechor. So then it would be 50%. So then each son would get 50%. And that's it. And the son that was Asur Bahana gets 50%, but he can't use it, and then he would just give it over to his children. And that would be the end of it. So that's why the Ron had to introduce the second son in order to make this case work.
But could you still just say, if you have two sons, then I'll just Asur the one son, and then he'll just give it to...
But in case the son, have the son that's a common problem, then he doesn't want that son to get anything.
Okay.
You see, if he doesn't make this special arrangement, then the Ghana will still get 50%. Period.
Seems really compelling to have to bring that in.
Yeah, it sounds compelling. I mean, I didn't check out the Rishonim. But this is a very valid question that he raised. So maybe we'll stop here. So for Monday, I want you to start the Rashba. Rashba is...
It's long.
You got to work on it. Okay?
Does that have to do with this?
Is the Rashba on
this? It comes up a little bit.
Okay.
And what's it on?
Kiddush?
Yeah,
it's on Kiddush.
Yay! I got to use my COVID.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Have a good shot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Feel
better. Yeah,
thank
you.
We'll be here Monday.
Oh.
On the
day
prior to the wedding. Are you
going
to be on Monday? Courts require couples to write up a job.
He's computing.
If you get divorced, it goes back.
I know I forgot something.
If you don't write it, then it's...
No, if you get divorced, if you bring up before the engagement, before you get married.
There was like a really wealthy couple who got broken up before they got married, and the ring was like $300,000, and he wanted the ring back, and she didn't want to give it back.
The donor is not entitled.